This morning we're going to begin a new study, a new series for the next, several months, probably last us about 3 months. And our series is on the life of Abraham, And it's taken from Genesis chapter 12 and it runs through Genesis chapter 25. And we will be looking at one chapter each Sunday and going through that chapter. I'll be doing a of course, when you look at one chapter, like always, you have to hit the highlights. You can't get into some of the details that we may want to get into, but that's on purpose. So we want to go through this quickly, provide an outline for you to study for yourself if you're interested, either at this moment or in the future. Come back and study this for yourself. Along those lines, I do want to mention, if you're interested, we're doing something different this time. Instead of having our basic rough outline out there in the hallway, we're providing a Bible lesson online. Now, this week it was put on a little bit late. I believe it got on there Friday. Lord willing, we'll try getting it on towards the beginning of the week as far as the one that's coming up. So if you go to our website right now, if you have a phone, you can if you'd like to, and you can even follow, I guess, right now. But if you go to the website, you'll look under the life of Abraham under our Bible studies, and there you'll be able to find this week's lesson as far as a Bible lesson, which and it's more detailed than what we've been handing out in the past. Actually, it's what we give to our teachers, and it's what our teachers study from, so they can teach the lessons throughout the church. And I want to share with you, it's not an exhaustive study. What I mean by that is we don't take verse by verse. It's not a technical study. It's just a Bible lesson that I hope will encourage you, that may give you some practical thoughts, and at the end of that you'll find some questions and some things to stimulate your thinking a little bit concerning the chapter. So that is available and will be available each week. We'll do that, and when we finish the lesson, we'll probably put just one PDF up there of the whole thing as a whole, so you can just download that whole thing if you would choose to later, or you can just have them separately, print them out, whatever you'd like to do with them. I pray they're just a blessing to you, and they'll follow right along our outline as we study. So you can either read them ahead, or you can read them afterwards, whatever suits you best. Now this morning, Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at the life of Abraham. And actually, Abraham's life begins in chapter 11 as far as the Bible's concerned. So we'll go back to chapter 11 at the end of chapter 11 and read the final verses there just to lead us in chapter 12. In verse 27 of chapter 11 it says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land, he says, that I will show thee." We're going to stop there this morning. We're going to get into our lesson on the life of Abraham. I'll have just a brief introduction as far as Abraham and his life. If you look at the Bible, we have Genesis is the beginning. Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 11, you'll find, it's interesting, you'll find the beginning, or at least the mention of pretty much all the major doctrines you'll find throughout the rest of the Bible. Christ is mentioned and promised. And you'll find many other doctrines that are alluded to or mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 through 11. And if you would just remove the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you would pretty much, I believe, take away the foundation of the rest of the Scriptures. Because Jesus and others often referred to things that occurred in those first 11 chapters. There's where we find the beginnings, the beginning of the world. We find sin, we find man, and so forth. What we have here, we have Abram. Now the flood occurred a few thousand years after man was created. After man's sin, we have the flood. Now the flood occurred, and of course we know that Noah was spared, him and his family. And the Bible tells us that they, after being spared, lived on earth and began to, well, repopulate the earth, began to live. And then it's not too long afterwards we find Abram. What we find with Abram, and later his name is changed to Abraham, but what we find with Abram is we find a man who God chose to bless, who God chose to call out. And from this point on, we begin to see that God begins to work not only through a man, but eventually through a nation, through a people. Before that, we had Noah and we had the others that who I believe were saved, but they weren't necessarily called and chosen as far as a land and as a nation. And that's what we find here with Abram. Now, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land, he says, that I will show thee." As far as our outline in our lesson this morning, we find first, verses 1 through 9, we find that Abram was called to leave his homeland. In other words, to leave where he had been born and probably raised. To leave everything he knew. He was called to leave his homeland. We find first God's call to Abram. Now, it was a call from God. It wasn't Abram just waking up one day saying, "You know what, I feel like going to this land and I hope God gives it to me." Abram was called by God to go. Now, this morning, I want to encourage you. You may not receive a call like Abram received, and of course, you're not going to receive it in the same way. But this morning, be willing to follow God's direction for your life. What I mean by that is God will work in and around us. And when He does, let's be content and let's continue to walk with God. You see, Abram was called. Now, what I do want you to notice as we go through this, verse 1, it says, "I will make of thee a great nation," or verse 2, excuse me, "I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This morning, I want you to note that this call for Abram and eventually the promises delivered to Abram here was direct and specific. You know, with God, there was no wondering. God is not the God of confusion. I believe the devil is the one who produces confusion. The devil is the one who promotes people to seek and to, I guess you say, to be out there confused and to wander in this world. God has given us directions. He's made it clear in His Bible. Here, Abram was given directions, direct, a specific call here to Abram. You see, he didn't have to wonder or guess. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. He didn't have to search and find God's will. He had to be obedient to what God told him is what he had to do. And this morning, I don't think a lot has changed. You know, we don't need to go find new scriptures or new teachings. You know what we need to do? We need to read these teachings that God has for us and abide by them, follow them. I tell you, if you decide to dig into the Bible and to study the Word of God, believe me, you'll spend your lifetime doing it. And I guess as the phrase goes, you'll just scratch the surface. You'll barely touch what God has for us. There's plenty here. We don't need to be searching for new things. We just need to get into the Bible that God has already delivered and to follow what the directions God has for us. Another thought I'll give to you on Abram's call, it was an act of grace. We don't find that Abram did anything to merit this. What I mean by that, God didn't look down at Abram and said, "Abram, you're such a good guy." In reality, I believe Abram was probably a sinner, as it's mentioned in Acts chapter 7, referring to him. He was a sinner. His family were idolaters, and that's where he came from. You know, Abram was called to leave all that he knew, everything that he was familiar with. You ever thought about that? That'd be difficult, to leave your family, your homeland, your friends, and to go the direction that God would want you to go. That's what Abram was called to do. Now, as far as his homeland, Ur, we're given that in verse 31. It talks about that of chapter 11. It tells us that Abram was from Ur. That's where his father was from, Terah was from. Ur was located, we don't have a map, but you may have a map in the back of your Bible. Ur was located on the Euphrates River down near the Persian Gulf. Those that know a little bit of history, the Persian Gulf War back in the early 90s took place in the similar location of where Abram was from, where he was born and raised. That's where Ur is located. I guess it's now it's in the southeast corner of modern-day Iraq is where Ur was. And at the time, Ur was a civilized city. You know, some want us to think that Abraham was running around with a club and barely wearing anything at all like a caveman. I don't believe that's true. Now, he may not have been wearing a suit or the clothes we have today, or jeans or anything like that, but he was probably wearing the clothes of the modern time. But we do know Ur was a civilized city. They have found evidence of a library, found evidence of medical equipment and so forth. Now, it may not have been advanced or some of the things we use, but it was a civilized time. And he had to leave that country, had to leave a civilized city to go out to a land. Now, he also had to leave his extended family. His immediate family, his wife, went with him. Also, we know later we'll find that his nephew Lot also traveled with him the entire way. My thought to you this morning is Abram was challenged. Immediately, his obedience was tested. Now, if you don't think so, what if God would direct you right now to go, to leave? Of course, taking your family, your wife, and your children, but go to a foreign land. You know, God still does that with missionaries. God will still work in their hearts, and he'll direct them to go. You see, Abram's obedience was tested. He had to leave everything that he held dear. Also, his faith, I think, would be strengthened in the process. And the reason why I say that is because we know, according to Joshua 24:2, if you're taking notes, Joshua 24:2, you know what that tells us? It tells us that his homeland and his father, even his father's house, were idolaters. They worshipped false gods, and they were in the midst of idolatry. You know what Abram had to do? He had to separate from that. I believe God called him out of that country so he could bless him. You know, when we're saved, you know what God does when we're saved? He calls us out of sin, changes our life. And he calls us out, you know why? Not so we can return back to it later and enjoy it. He calls us out so we can be separate from that. And afterwards, we're to live for God, walk with God. If you're saved here this morning, that's what he's done for you. He's called you out of that sin. So I hope and pray you're saved. If not, you can be. You can trust in Christ as your Savior. You know, we see early he had to practice separation. Also, concerning his call. And notice what it says in verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. What I want you to notice is what God said unto Abram, and all the information Abram received. How many of you like to, when you go to buy something, you like to investigate it a little bit? Now some really get online, you research the situation, you find out everything. Notice all that Abram was given. God says, you come follow me and I will show you a land. Think about that for a minute. He wasn't even told the size of the land. He wasn't told where the land was. When you stop and look at this, he really wasn't even promised the land yet. He just said, God said, come and I will show you a land. I want to show you something. You think of children today, say, come on, Mom, Dad, let me show you something. Or you may have a friend say, I want to show you, you got to see this. That's all basically what God did with Abram. He said, come on, I want to show you a land. And Abram was to follow God by faith, even though he didn't have all the information or all the details yet. You see, that's what faith is. You know, sometimes, actually often, God will lead us one step at a time. God's not going to always tell us what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or next year. We're just to walk by faith, trusting God is in control, and that God will give us what he has for us when the time is correct. That's what Abram did here. He was not given the size or description. You know what he did? He learned to follow God. And he learned to trust in God. I think we find here that he just had to take God for his word. And he just had to go without any guarantees up front. Now for some of us, that would be difficult. Am I correct? We like to know the guarantees. We like to know what's going to happen. And you know what? As far as living in our generation, God has put us here, 2013. I think he's blessed us. Because we do have a lot more guarantees than what Abram had, than what Noah had, than what many of the Old Testament saints had. We have the epistles, we have the revelation that we can read and we can know what's going to take place. And so we have a lot more that we can trust in. And so we should be faithful. Now I want you to notice real quick, we're not going to take the time to really develop these, but I want you to notice the seven promises given to Abram. We find in beginning in verse 1, he says, I will make of thee, or verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. I'm just going to run through these promises real quick. First, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. Do you realize the Lord is the one who exalts, and the Lord is able to make a nation if he should choose to? You know what the Lord can also do? He can make a nation great. I also believe he can go the other way with a nation, and he can humble a nation and bring them to their knees. That's God's power. Also, he says, I will bless thee. This appears to be just a general blessing. How many of you want God's blessings in your life? I do. I want God's blessings. I'm thankful for God's blessings. Thankful that we can seek him in prayer, and we can ask for his, direction and so forth. So Abram was to receive God's blessings. Thirdly, he says, I will make thy name great. Think about Abram for a minute. He was leaving his family, leaving his homeland. He was going into a new land where nobody knew him. That's like starting a new school or starting a new job. Nobody knows you there. You just have to start over. And God told Abram, he said, you come with me and I'm going to make you great. Nobody may know you now, but they'll know you eventually. You know, it's interesting. Abram, And I don't say this, this is really a sad statement as far as mankind is concerned, but it's a true statement. Do you realize Abram is probably the most known and, I guess, a reverenced or praised man in the history of the world? Even more so than Jesus Christ. Think about this. The Jews, now they don't worship Abraham, but you know what they do? They reverence him and they respect him. Father Abraham is what many of the Jews call him or refer to him. How about the Christians? We respect Abraham. We don't worship him, of course. You realize the Muslims even respect and reverence Abraham. God kept this promise. Abraham was made great. He's still great in the world today. He's still considered a great man by pretty much the entire world or most of the world today. You see, God kept this promise for Abraham and he became great. Also, the fourth one says, thou shalt be a blessing. You know, Abraham, I think, would be a blessing to those he met and those he knew. How many of you would like to be a blessing to people in this world? I tell you, I'd rather be a blessing than a burden. I hope when we get to heaven that people don't, when I stand before God, God says, you know, you were a burden to this person, you were a burden to this person, you made this person stumble, you caused this person to struggle. You know, we can become a burden in our words, our actions, our attitude even. We can become a burden to people. Let's be blessings. Here, Abram would be a blessing. Also, he says next, he says, I will bless those that bless thee. This is number five. Bless those that bless thee. You know what God made clear to Abram? He said, guess what? We're going to be allies, Abram. You follow me, you walk with me, and we're going to be together. And I'm going to bless those, here he says there, I will bless those that bless thee. In other words, those that ally with you, I'm going to be a blessing to them. And then next we say, I will curse those that curse thee. He's talking about the opposite, those that go against him. And then six we see, and these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This, I think, was probably, even though it was the final blessing, was probably the greatest. He's referring to the Messiah here, Jesus Christ. If you take notes in the book of Galatians, Paul explains this excellent in Galatians chapters 3 and 4, how basically Abraham is the spiritual father to all those that come to Christ today. And so God has blessed the world through Abraham, referring to Jesus Christ. You know, Abram was given God's word. That's what he had. He was given God's promises, seven promises. Here's what I want to share with you real quick before we move on. Abram did not set out on a fool's mission. You know, sometimes people think faith is just a foolish run. You know, Christians are just foolish. They just have blind faith. Abram did not have blind faith, quote unquote. Abram had faith in God's promise. You see, Abram had confidence in God. God said, I will bless you. You follow me. And Abram said, okay, that sounds good. I'm going to trust you, God. And he went. You see, this morning, faith. If you have faith in God, you're just trusting His word is what you're doing. That's why we need to read His word and study His word so we know what to trust and what, you know, I guess the areas that we need to have confidence in. So Abraham followed God's direction and acted by faith. Now look at verses 4 through 9. We're just running through this real quick this morning. I encourage you, if you enjoy this chapter, to study it for yourself. It says, verse 4, Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, he says, they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So here's what we have with Abram. He left his homeland. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of a timeline so we get an understanding of this. To begin with, Abram was from Ur. I don't have a map up here this morning, but Ur was down by the Persian Gulf, there in modern-day Iraq. That's where Ur was located. And Abram left Ur with his family, according to Acts chapter 7. Actually, I want to turn there. Acts chapter 7, I'll just read it to you, verses 2 and 3. This is part of Stephen's sermon here. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2, he says, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Shuran, which is also Haran. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come in the land which I shall show thee. So here's what we can conclude. Abram, there in Ur, now when he left Haran, he was 75 years old. So there in Ur, probably in his 60s or 70s, God appeared unto him and said, follow me, get thee out of this land and come to this land that I will show you. Obviously, when you put the two together, in the Bible, they go together, the New Testament and the Old Testament. When you put the two together, what occurred is Abram left with his family and apparently with his dad, and they went as far as Haran. And there they stopped. Now, there's all types of speculation of why Abram stopped in Haran. Now, if you would look at a map, or if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you know where you find Haran? Haran goes straight north from Ur. The reason why it goes north instead of straight across is because there was a vast wilderness, still is today, a vast wilderness. And people have traveled over that. Of course, today we can do it by plane and other ways, but in the past they have went across. But the normal route was to go up north around that vast wilderness and mountainous area and then come down into Israel from the north. That was the trade route, and that was probably the route that Abraham took, especially when you put these together. Anyway, he went to Haran. Haran would be far north. North of Israel, up there, and he stopped. He delayed. Perhaps it was because his dad was old. We find that his dad passed away there. And after the death of his dad is when he continued on down into Israel. So they stopped in Haran. They remained until Abram's father died. You know, maybe Abram struggled with leaving his family. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us this. But that is a possibility. Maybe he just struggled. And he didn't leave until his dad had passed on or had died. Or maybe he stayed to take care of his dad. You see, we don't find Abram being reprimanded anywhere in here. So maybe that's likely too, that his dad's health went down and so he stopped to take care of his dad until his dad passed away and then they continued on, which is also a possibility. Either way, they left Haran. Abram was 75 years old and there he went into the promised land, or the land that God would show him. You know what's interesting is he went. This entire journey was by faith. Completely by faith. He went without knowing where he was going. I read where one person said he didn't even know where there was. He just went and God directed his steps. You see, that's by faith. And Abram walked by faith. You know, God was not looking for Abram to deal with him or to discuss the matter. You know, this morning we ought to be careful of doing that. God's not looking for our discussion or our input. He has put down exactly what he expects of us. He's looking for our obedience and our faith. And that's what Abram did. Abram took all. You know, we've read that there. He took all that he had, all his possessions. He took his family, of course, his wife, and his nephew Lot went with him. And the Bible says that he left his home, left everything that he had. You know what I find? I don't think he planned to return. And according to the scriptures, he never did. You see, he was full speed, 100% following God. Now let that be a lesson to us this morning. Now we may not be called to go to a new land, but if we're saved, how about we serve God 100%? How about we separate from sin completely? Let's not hold on to a few things here and there or you know, little pet sins that people call. Let's separate. And let's ask God to show us if there is anything in our life that we need to separate from. And then let's serve God 100%. How about we be faithful to reading the Bible, to prayer? Dedicate ourselves to going to church and growing in the Lord and getting involved in our church. You see, faithfulness, dedication. That's what Abram did. He took everything. I don't think Abram had what we would call a plan B. He didn't have a backup plan. He had no other plan. He was going to walk with God, and that was it. You know, if you're saved here this morning looking around, I believe you are, I'm going to tell you something. There is no backup plan with God. Let's just have faith, walk with Him, and let him lead our lives. And let's just be faithful. Abram arrived in the land. It says there in verse 6, passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now, could you imagine this? Here's what we have. Abram was told by God, he said, let me take you to a land that I will show you, a land that eventually he was going to give to him. And Abram here makes this long journey. It may have taken several years, as some believe, made this journey. And he goes down into this land that God was going to show him and provide for him. And as he enters the land and begins to pass through the land, you know what he notices? Hey, there's people in this land. There's inhabitants in this land. And I imagine they don't want to give it up. And maybe they haven't heard that God has planned to give this to me. And so Abram begins to go through the land. He sees the Canaanites that are dwelling in the land. And they have possession of the land, the Bible tells us. Or at least they occupy it, is what we have here. That they occupy the land. I believe everywhere Abram went, he probably saw people. These Canaanites who occupied the land. Keep in mind, Abram was given God's word that he would possess it, him and his family. Once again, the Lord is who he trusted. And we find here next, it says there in verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This is the second time in Abram's life that the Lord appeared unto him. Here's something I just want you to take note of. Two thoughts here on this. One, God did not appear to Abram on a daily basis. Keep that in mind. It wasn't like Abram woke up every single day and talked with God as far as God appearing unto him. Now, he may have talked to God in his prayers and in his worship like we do, but God didn't appear unto him on a daily basis. That, when you think about it, that relationship was reserved for Adam and Eve. And it'll be reserved for us when we enter into heaven. We'll have that relationship with God. But Abram had a similar relationship. And some would say, well, why would God appear unto him, but he doesn't appear unto us today? I'll tell you why. Right here. You look at the scriptures, we have, I believe, the complete revealed Word of God. This morning, I'm not going to take the time to show you all the proof verses of that in the New Testament, but I believe we do have it. Abram didn't have this complete revealed Word of God. Abram basically had probably what he had from Noah, passed on down, but he didn't have God's will, or revealed will as far as the Word of God. And so I believe that's why God appeared to him and directed him. You know what you find in the Old Testament? Is that God revealed His Word through the years. And that men learned and found out more about God. Not that His Word changed or His will changed. It was revealed. It was made known. Anyway, Abram, God appeared to Abram and God verified to him. Abram may have been sitting there wondering, you know, you sure this is the right place? Look, there's the people are here. And God says, I'm going to give this to you. It's a promise that I made. So what we find is Abram built an altar unto the Lord. You know, it's interesting. He built a lot of altars. I think he was a thankful man, a grateful man. And he gave thanks unto God. Then the Bible tells us that he continued through the land. In verse 9, he journeyed going on still toward the south. That's another indication for us that he probably did enter into the north, because it says he still went on towards the south. By looking at this passage, you know what we find? Evidently, he went through the entire land, at least as far as lengthwise, north and south. He probably entered the north, went all the way through the land, saw people everywhere, received God's promise. And then, you know what we find? Really, he was required to wait. It just ends. When you think about it, verse 9, he says, "And he journeyed, going on still toward the south." The Lord had not appeared to him again. There was no new direction. There were no more promises as far as any more promises given to him. The land was not in his possession. Abram had to wait on God. Now this is where life becomes difficult, at least for me. It's difficult to wait. Whether it's waiting for an answered prayer, waiting for direction, waiting for a door to open, whatever it is difficult to wait. Sometimes if we're not careful, in waiting we can become discouraged. In waiting, we can make mistakes. And that's what I think happened with Abram. I want us to notice this next section here, and it goes from verses 10 through 20, and we're going to look at this. Abram followed God. Abram was faithful. Abram lived by faith. Then Abram made a mistake. How many of you ever made mistakes? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just admit to it myself. We make mistakes on a daily basis. We slip up. We make a mistake. And if we're not careful, it can be a big mistake. I believe Abram made a big mistake. He made a very unwise decision. And notice beginning in verse 10, it says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." I'm going to just stop right there because this is where we're going to pick it up. Abram and the great famine. The Bible tells us a grievous famine came upon the land. Now, since it was grievous, you know what that implies? It implies that there was a great drought, and it implies there was a shortage of food, because there were no crops to harvest. And so because of this, the famine was grievous. There probably was no end in sight either. What I mean by that, you know, Abram, probably looking out each morning, probably saw the sun come up, no clouds, and no end in sight. He didn't know how long this would last. Abram, at this point, may have wondered about the Lord's plan. I don't know if he did or not, but he may have wondered about the Lord's plan. And you know what we find? We don't find any direction from God. We don't even find Abram seeking God. You know what we find? We just find Abram deciding to go down into Egypt. And notice what he says there, what the Bible tells us. It says, Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. That word sojourn implies he was going there for a short period of time. It wasn't a move. He wasn't packing up his stuff, moving into Egypt to stay in Egypt. What he was doing, I believe, was trying to escape this drought, escape this famine. Now, here's some thoughts on this, and this is just my thoughts from this passage. First, nowhere does the Bible tell us that they were starving or hungering. It doesn't say that. It just says that there was a great famine. And some will say, well, maybe they were, and they might have been, but it doesn't tell us that they were starving or that they were hungry. Here's a thought on this. Maybe it was the fear of hunger and starvation that pushed Abram. You know, sometimes just the fear of things can cause us to move, as far as sometimes the fear of things in the world can cause us to make some bad decisions. The fear of someone saying, get out of my face, can cause us not to be a witness. The fear of being laughed at and ridiculed can cause us not to live for Christ openly. You see, the fear, just the fear of something happening, can cause us to make a bad decision. And maybe, I'll just say this, maybe that was what occurred. Perhaps the fear of hunger and starvation and being concerned with his family and his welfare caused him to make this decision and say, we're going to go down to Egypt for a little bit. You see, we just need to be careful of being directed by our fears instead of trusting in God. Now also, and I mentioned it already, and I'll mention it again, there is no indication of Abram seeking God. He didn't build an altar this time. He probably should have. He didn't build an altar. He didn't pray to God. He didn't seek God's direction. And nowhere do we have any indication, here or anywhere else in the Scriptures, that God led him into Egypt. Nowhere. You know, my personal thought is, God had led him into the land that God had for him. There was no reason to leave. Abram just needed to continue by faith, but he stumbled. He made a mistake. You know, I will say this as far as his, I don't want to say it to his defense, but just as a thought, because I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not saying I'm any better. You talk about a man who was in a foreign land. He didn't possess any of it. It was a foreign land still to him as far as practical. Foreign land, a famine, wondering about his family. You could see where any one of those situations can shake a person's faith and cause us to struggle. And that's what I believe happened to Abram. And the Bible tells us they decided to go to Egypt, or he decided to take his family into Egypt. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass, when he was come near unto Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now we have Abram heading on down to Egypt, leaving the Lord's direction or the Lord's will, not even seeking God's direction. You know what happened? And he ran into all sorts of trouble. You know, at this point, you know what he should have said? Or should have at least considered, he should have considered, hey, maybe God doesn't want me to go down here. Look at all these troubles and difficulties that are lying in front of me. Maybe I should turn around and go back. You know, I'll give you a practical thought on decision making. If you are undecided, say if you have a decision to make, and you sought God in prayer, you went to the Bible, and you're undecided, it's best probably not to make the decision. You know, if there is some doubt there, you know, you go to Romans, it teaches that if we can't do anything 100%, then it's best not to do it. If there's some doubt there, perhaps that doubt is there because God or the Spirit has placed it there. And so if there's a decision to be made, now I'm not talking about, you know, of course, doing nothing or laziness. I'm talking about like making a decision to move or maybe taking another job or changing careers. If there's a doubt, if there's indecision, it's best perhaps to wait and continue to seek God until He provides that direction. You see, this morning, Abram probably should have stopped. He probably should have considered what was going on, turned around. He had all these new fears that came into his life. And the first one was if you notice, he feared the Egyptians. Rightly so. You know, Egypt was a flourishing country this time, powerful army. And here Abram and his family are going in there, and he feared that they would look upon his wife because the Bible says that she was fair. In other words, she was pretty. She was beautiful. You know, I'll say this. Our society isn't as advanced as we want to believe. We still place a lot of importance on the outside, just like many societies before us. And here the Egyptians, he believed the Egyptians would look upon her because of her beauty and that they would take her from him. And he feared that they would do this. Also, he basically believed that if necessary, they would kill him to take her. You know, I think we find a lack of faith. This man all of a sudden didn't believe God could protect his family, didn't believe God could protect his wife. I think it goes back to because he was no longer following God's direction. He was out on his own. This morning, let that be a lesson to us. If we choose to live in our own, our flesh, our own reasoning, instead of trusting in God, then we're probably going to run into situations like this. And we're going to struggle with faith, and we're going to struggle with our situation. Here he feared death, and basically it led to an unwise decision. Notice his decision was he asked Sarah to lie for him, to protect him. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he thought that by lying that the whole family would be protected, that the Egyptians would just leave him alone. In reality, you know what he did? He put her in greater harm because she gave the impression that she was single. And as we'll read here in just a few minutes, the Pharaoh took her believing that she was single. And so he put her in greater harm. What I do want you to notice real quick before we move on is that according to Genesis chapter 20 and verse 12, it says there, talking about Sarah. Now, we're going to get to this in a little bit. He made the same mistake later. But verse 12, talking about Sarah, it says, "Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father-in-law, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." Now, back then, and I'm not going to get, we don't have time to get into this, but back then, marriages between close relation was not looked down upon like it is today. And it was just a different time. But Sarah was his half-sister. You know, maybe Abram justified this lie. Because remember, he said, he'd tell them, "You're my sister." In other words, he deceived, or he wanted to deceive him. I'll remind you of this. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, the sin of omission is still sin. In other words, if we know to do something right, we're not to deceive or be deceptive. We're to live correctly at all times, be honest in all our dealings, whether it's a business dealing or whether it's spiritual, walking with God. We're to be honest in all of our dealings. And here, Abraham was dishonest, really. What's that? A partial lie is still a lie. People talk about white lies. A white lie is still a lie. You know, in the Bible, a lie is a lie. And here, Abram really encouraged his wife to lie, and she went ahead and did that. In verses 14 and 20, we're running out of time, so I'm just going to read this a few verses here. We're going to wrap this up. Verse 20 or 14 says, "And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. Princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way.' Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had." So he goes into Egypt. He enters into Egypt. They lie, hoping that they will be able to be all right, be taken care of. Immediately, things begin to unravel. The Egyptians did notice her beauty, just as Abram was afraid. But because she gave the impression and probably even made it clear that she was single, they had no problem commending her or recommending her to Pharaoh. And then what did the Pharaoh do? The Bible says that Pharaoh took her into his house, not to be his wife yet, but just to probably to plan on having a marriage and taking her as his wife. Now, to their credit, to the Egyptians' credit, they did this unknowingly. What I mean by that is they believed she was Abram's sister. You notice something? God was merciful to them because of this. God didn't wipe them out. Now, God plagued the house until they got things settled and got things right. But you see, God understands, I believe, our ignorance. He understands if we make a mistake or a sin because we don't know or we don't understand. But likewise, He also understands when we sin willingly. When we know right or wrong, we know better, and we choose to live in sin or choose to disobey God. Anyway, the Pharaoh treated Abram kindly. He gave Abram all these treasures, all these gifts. We're going to see next week that all these gifts became a burden to Abram anyway. But he gave all these gifts to Abram. I imagine at this time, Abram was probably grieved in his heart. What was he going to do? I mean, all his plans had unraveled. Now, what's he going to do now? You know what I think we find here this morning? As we get ready to wrap this up, we find a good picture of God's grace. Now, I don't believe that God blessed Abram because he condoned his sin. I believe God blessed Abram because Abram belonged to him. And that's it. See, this passage does not condone sin. It doesn't say, well, you go out and do what you want because God's going to going to take care of you anyway. You go live in sin and God will help you get away with it. No, what we find here is that even when we stumble and make a mistake, God is gracious, merciful, forgiving. If we seek His forgiveness, God will forgive. God loves us and cares for us. And that's what we find here. You know, Pharaoh discovered that Sarah was Abram's wife. How that was found out, maybe she told him. Or maybe they discovered it after some kind of investigation was made. Or maybe it was overheard from one of Abram's servants commenting on it. Either way, he found out. Bible tells us he addressed Abram immediately. His house was plagued. It doesn't give us the details of the plagues, but I tell you what, just reading the details of the plagues in the Exodus, I'm sure these plagues were effective. God can do that. And he immediately sought out Abram. You know what's interesting is Abram had no response. Probably one or two things. Either the Pharaoh didn't give him a chance to respond. He was just so furious at what has taken place by being deceived that he just wanted to send him away. Or Abram did not respond because he was guilty and ashamed. He was. I mean, he was living like the world, living in sin. You know, a sad statement here. The Pharaoh, now, I don't believe that Pharaoh, I don't know, but I don't believe the Pharaoh belonged to God. There's no indication of it here. But do you realize the Pharaoh provided a better testimony than Abram? Abram was a liar, a deceiver, and he was God's child, so to speak. And here we have the Pharaoh who was honest and upright, doing things correctly. You know what's sad? That's what happens to Christians if we're not careful. When we get out of God's will and we begin to live for ourselves, next thing you know, we can be just like the world. And if we're not careful, we can be ashamed because we are worse than the world or acting worse than the world. So let's just obey God, abide with Him, live with Him. Abram was blessed. God blessed him as far as God spared his wife and him. Blessed him, and as we'll see next week, sent him back or recovered him from Egypt, brought him back to where he could bless him again. You see, God is good, and that's what we're going to close with this morning. We're going to